All right, so I have some things that I want to announce here. After I turn that off, some things that have been going on, and one of the many reasons why I have not been around to do a radio show in a while. We have had weekends absolutely stacked up in preparation for our native games, which the tournament happened last week, a week ago yesterday, on March 20th. It was the build-up to our tournament consisted of every weekend hosting pickup games and practices of stickball down in Lithia Park. And hold on 1 second. My son is bothering me about getting North Bear out of there for himself. See how selfish these kids can be. Anyway, the games have been made us very, very busy lately, and they were a great event. I have more news to bring about that coming up, the wrap-up of the games and some things to talk about announcing the winner of the tournament, as well as talking a little bit about the a workshop that we just did in Coos Bay for about 50 Coos tribal kids that was extremely successful. So our spring has kicked off with pretty much nonstop gaming, meaning playing shinny and stickball. And so we have a lot to talk about there because we'd like to make this into more or less of a continuous thing for us. The gaming aspect of things. As we enter into the spring, we also are getting ready for lots of ceremony and for our Elder Youth Conference, June 17th through the 20th. So we'll talk some more about that. And what else is going on? We've got Red Earth Descendants has a social coming up next Saturday, April 3rd, I believe, is the day that falls on. And it's our first Saturday of the month social that we host, about 9 or 10 months out of the year. There are a few months that we're off doing other previously arranged commitments that take the place of the powwow. But for the most part, most months, we have a first Saturday of the month social at 5 p.m. at the Student Family Housing Complex on Quincy Street in Ashland. It's part of the SOU Student Family Housing. There's a little community room in the middle of that building. You have to walk around the side to get to it. And that is where we host our monthly circle socials at 5 p.m. And the drum, Whistling Elk Drum, usually opens for them. We usually have some sort of talking circle where something is shared or presented, or we go around the circle and introduce ourselves. We then have a community potluck feast, and it's just a good old-fashioned social. It's the whole design of it. Not supposed to have really any agenda, but to come together and feast and pray over the food and have a really nice meal. So anyway, that's going on this Saturday at 5 o'clock. And any information that you want to have about our group, Red Earth Descendants, you can check out our new and greatly improved website at www.redearthdescendants.org. It is just full of information. Everything you ever wanted to know about us is up there. We had some people working very diligently about kind of connecting the communication dots and put a lot of really good information on our website so that we can reach out to more people. It's been a real blessing for us. A lot of us kind of grassroots type people, the grungy grassroots group of 40 plus kind of people that don't like to put everything on Facebook and websites like myself. This has been that I am finding that there is a lot of good stuff that can come from communicating that way. So I am very grateful to our webmaster, Zachary, who takes such good care of us that way, and to that type of communication that we have. So please check out our website. Again, it's at www.redearthdescendants.org. And, we do a lot for KSKQ. We can kind of, until I talk to Jason about this, we can kind of make Red an informal underwriter. So I'm plugging a lot for our organization, but also in a way that helps the radio station here, because we do a lot of communication between Red and KSKQ. We put a lot of the KSK news out to our Red viewers and participants, and so we're definitely working in collaboration, a kind of community effort that we really appreciate with this radio station. So, okay, enough talk for now. On to some Northern Cree, and then I will be back with some of that wrap-up information about the Native Games, and also keeping you informed and letting you know about what we have coming up in June, what Red has is its next project and event coming up, a couple of things. So stay tuned for that. In the meantime, enjoy some of this. It's powwow season for sure. I know my family and the guys on the drum are getting really excited for the upcoming spring powwow, so they are all about powwow right now, and so bring you some good stuff.
Hey!
cutting off kind of fast there. Sorry about that. You are listening to KSKQ Community Radio in Ashland, Oregon, a project of the Multicultural Association of Southern Oregon. I realize I had not said that yet. This is First Nations Radio. My name is Jamie, and we, First Nations Radio, brought to you by Red Earth Descendants, come to you most Sundays between 2 and 4 p.m. Southern Oregon Jobs with Justice proudly supports KSKQ Low Power 94.9 FM in Ashland, Oregon. Southern Oregon Jobs with Justice brings together labor unions, religious congregations, student groups, and community organizations to improve working people's standard of living, job security, and their right to organize. Visit their website at www.sojwj.org. KSKQ thanks Southern Oregon Jobs with Justice for supporting community radio. And a couple of things here. I just came from previous to doing the show here a couple of hours ago from downtown, what we're calling the prayer pole now. It's the downtown sculpture at the base of Church Street and on Main, next to the Haynes building there with the, oh gosh, I can't remember the name of the little Mexican restaurant there. Anyway, most of you in Ashland know what I'm talking about, the big totem type native looking sculpture there that was carved by local sculptor Russell Beebe and inspired by one of our elders, one of our dear most precious elders, Agnes Pilgrim Baker, the last living descendant of the Takelma people. And she has family, so I shouldn't say she's the last. She's one of the last of her elders of the Takelma Nation, people who inhabited this land along with the Shasta people. And she, about 4.5 years ago, there was a tree that was needed to come out of that little area there at the kind of the intersection of where Siskiyou and Main, you know, one goes north and one goes south. And there's that little curved road that you come around, and that's where the sculpture is, sort of the north peak of downtown. And anyway, Matthew Lloyd Haynes was constructing his building there. There was a big old tree that needed to come out, which was not the most popular thing for a lot of local residents who knew that tree, you know, for years and years and years. A very ancient tree. A lot of people were not happy about that tree having to be removed. And being that, you know, we live in a progressive world that has to make room for new development and that sort of thing, Matthew Lloyd Haynes, being the good soul that he is, was trying to find a solution to making peace with the taking out of this tree. And so he searched around, tried to find out. And I'm not sure all the details. I'm not sure how it all came together. Somehow, Matthew was connected with Russell Beebe of the Ojibwe Nation and with Aggie Pilgrim Baker of the Takelma people, and in touch with Red Earth Descendants back in the day when Red was just beginning, just in the baby phases of becoming an organization. And between all the people working together on this project, Russell was chosen to take this tree and do a sculpture out of it. And he worked with some envisioning that Aggie had about how it should look, and made and created this incredibly beautiful sculpture. It stops people dead in their track. I've seen tourists, you know, just walking down the street and just stop and gaze at it. It's a remarkable work of art, as well as a living and breathing prayer pole. Now it has evolved into what we are now calling and caretaking it as a prayer pole. And in the Ojibwe tradition, there are prayer poles back home, back on the reservations where the people come from, where every family has a prayer pole, and there's a space below it to offer tobacco and offer your daily prayers. As this has turned out, since some of the people who were responsible for creating it and doing it in a good way and initiating it into the city as a public place are from the Ojibwe tradition, that is kind of, in a roundabout way, the way that it became what we now call a prayer pole. In the process of this, as with many things that we do with our Grandma Aggie, she has asked our community to caretake the prayer pole. And so what we do is we watch over it, we pray over it, we hang eagle feathers from it. We hang one eagle feather from one of the hands. And so as you drive by or walk by, you will see most of the time an eagle feather flying from the left hand of the woman who's holding her arms out, which, of course, in our family, we like to know that that is our Grandma Aggie standing right there. My family and I come down Church Street every day because we live up in the hills behind there. And we come down Church Street every weekday to go to school and work. And it's so cute because my son, for years now, has said, "That's my Grandma Aggie holding her arms out for me." So it's just this very welcoming sculpture that really, really, well, it looks like Aggie. Of course, it's her. But it also symbolizes this wonderful woman kind of holding up our town, and with a lot of other symbolism and other carvings into the structure that is part of what of the woman who's standing there. So you just have to, if you haven't seen it, you have to get out of your car someday and just walk around it in a few circles and take a look at everything that's gone into that sculpture. Anyway. As Red Earth descendants, as a community, we have started to hang the feathers from this prayer pole as a way of, as a symbolism of trust and faith in our community. We do this for those of us who have used our personal feathers to hang up there. We do this as an act of trust and faith and honor. You know, we're truly honored to have our feathers hanging from the hand of this, you know, wonderful woman on this sculpture. And we offer this also as a way to be in a public space and to help the community to heal from a lot of the wrongs that have happened to First Nations people in every mile that we walk on North American soil. There is a Native presence that has been pushed out. And so the significance of having this prayer pole in downtown Ashland is also a statement that says, "We are here." In fact, that's the inscription on the sculpture. There's a little brass plaque that says, you know, "We are here." And it's to honor First Nations people in the land that they once inhabited. And still inhabit in many regions. And so this sculpture, this prayer pole, means a lot to the Native people, no matter where you're from. It particularly is a very tender and touching thing for someone like Aggie and her family. But it means a lot to all Indigenous people to know that there is an honoring of First Nations people living and breathing in our downtown. So today, we had at noon, we had the taking down of, well, last week, Russell, the sculptor, took down the feathers that were up there. Today was the day that we put and installed new feathers up onto the sculpture. And so there's a ceremony behind that. The Whistling Elk drum usually comes and sings some songs. We had some longhouse songs sung by local caretakers of the longhouse tradition. We had some explanation by the people who are responsible for caretaking this and for putting the feathers up and donating the feathers for this cause. And And then the feathers were up and flying with the prayer. So we're really, really happy about that. I think the thing that struck me today was that we've done this now for going on 4 years. And what struck me today was how many people were there. I couldn't believe it. I kind of did a head count at first. And I think we had, you know, upwards of 60, 70 people there at one point, which is just a real blessing. That was that is something that touches my heart, because I think we're reaching more people in the community, and everybody, even if it was just somebody walking down the sidewalk, curious about what was happening, hearing the songs, hearing the beautiful heartbeat of the drum, and being drawn to that, came in a good way, came in a really respectful way, and gathered there and helped us to make that blessing, to put those feathers up in a good way. And so, you know, thank you so much to our community for allowing us to do this, and for our extended family for carrying this tradition. It's a really good tradition that we have. The feathers go up every 6 months at the equinox time. So last week at the equinox, the feathers that had been up there for a half a year came down. Today, a week into spring, new feathers went up. And so, you know, we have a lot of happiness, a lot of prayers, a lot of faith and trust that the presence of this very sacred essence that we have that is in the feathers. Eagle feathers are utmost. They're probably one of the most sacred items that Native people can carry and use in their life. And we have trust that this is not only a blessing for our families and our inner community, but for the outer community as well. We have a lot of verbiage in Indian country about healing the sacred hoop. And that sacred hoop includes all people of all four nations, of all four races and colors of people. And in Native traditions, the colors of people are the four colors. The black, you know, the black people. White is white people. The yellow are the Eastern, the Asian people. And the red are the Native people of the Americas. So they encompass, those colors are the four sacred colors. They encompass the four directions of our world. It's a different way of categorizing people, I guess, from an anthropological point of view. Those four colors encompass all people. And so when we talk about healing the sacred hoop of all nations, that's what we're talking about. It's not just a New Age verse or phrase. It's a real reality in Indian country that most Native people who have any traditional upbringing and education and knowledge in their family know that if they are here walking on this earth right now during this time, that part of their work needs to be about healing this sacred hoop and returning the earth to a state of health. And so it's one of the many things that we can do as a community is to take care of this this prayer pole, this sculpture downtown. So if anybody's listening to this and hasn't really ever, you know, got out of their car and walked around and looked at this, this is an invitation to the public to come and look at this prayer pole. Come in and leave a prayer there. Give somebody a good thought. You can take things there. You can put things around the base of it. Traditionally, you know, we put tobacco down there. That's an offering. It's a prayer offering. We have gone down there and I've seen things, really sweet things like flowers at the base of it. I've seen people walking around and just kind of putting their hands out and taking it in. You know, however you exchange some kind of communication with that pole is a good thing. And we just ask that people watch over it, be respectful, and get something good from it. Know that there's a lot of energy flying up there on that pole. So that's a little update about what something that happened just today, something that's right right here in our midst that a lot of us pass by every day. And I hope that, you know, somebody out there listening got, you know, some good information from that. And now, again, you're listening to First Nations Radio. My name is Jamie. This is coming to you most Sundays between 2 and 4 p.m. And you're hearing us on KSKQ LP 94.9 FM Community Radio in Ashland, Oregon. Yeah!
Listen to the skies, listen to the sound. Something on the land, something going down. Downdressers speeding by life. Fever's heart, burning rivers to cross. Walls of Babylon, material noise. Thinking they've touched the moon. Freedom takes a rocket blast. Just another day, like yesterday. Rocking the rails. Woman like you, times like this. All that's real connects to you. Happy medicine making me smile. Seeing you laugh, getting so near. Rocking our hearts, rocking the rails. Carrying on like he ain't been gone. Warmaker's back, back in town. His notion taking care of us. Not same as, not even close, not even close to our notion of taking care of us. Nowhere to hide, nowhere to run. Got no job and prices going up. Warmaker's back in town. Just another day, like yesterday. Rocking my heart, rocking the rails. No chance we're gonna ever give up. Together we'll dance, a personal dance. Sweet starts, surrendering only to each other. These days holding the night, holding on tight. Rocking our hearts, rocking the reds. Stars and working on offing Earth. What kind of future is that? Some weird kind of living. Who needs that lot? Pretending we aren't stars too really isn't very bright. Earth stars with jailbreak in our hearts. Just another day like yesterday. Rocking the reds. Woman I want, woman I need. Times when times do get hard. You sure are some comfort. Rising up love, living on, carries on. Rocking our hearts, rocking the reds. Rockers' hearts, rocking reds.
Child's eyes. Sidewalk playgrounds got to beware. Junkman's in the shadows dealing his junk. Beautiful sisters deal themselves around. Beautiful brothers not so beautiful anymore. So much older than the day before. Ain't everybody tired of being poor? Graffiti man's got something to say. Message in the scrawl, message on the wall. Something's wrong, not our fault. We gotta be cool, our time will come. Open spaces and shopping center walls. Middle class man, middle class land. Clean enough to be a family affair. Nice place to take wide-eyed child. Control climate, temperate zones. Neat little shops all laid out. Everything for sale by cash or plastic. Price not negotiable, but payment is. Different junk man, different junk. Spend some money, buy some more. Graffiti man's got something to say. Message in a scrawl, message on the wall. Put on blinders, dull the senses. Who's worth more than money they spend? Skyscraper buildings, corporate corridor, office suite, executive board. High finance, big businessman suit, not stained by sweat or blood. Using money like perfume water. Sophistication smiles hide stain and decay. Realistic decisions in columns and ledgers. Dividing profits among themselves. Spoils of war are spoils of war, says Junkman, owner of the junk. Graffiti man's got something to say. Message in a scrawl, message on the wall. Down with bosses, no more bosses. Something's gotta change, something's gotta change. That aren't there. They quarreled again today. Turning her back, she feels more like crying. Love turned into contest. Passion turned unkind. Close to going crazy. Tempting her mind. Like an ant on an ice cream cone in the sun. Someone knocked down all her sandcastles. And she doesn't know why. She doesn't know why. Feelings of her own, wandering in restless situations. Want to weep when she faces reality she's in. Want to live, want to begin her life again. Feelings of her own, wandering in restless situations. Spilling their milk and honey. They quarreled again today. One more quarrel, their domino theory of quarrels. This man she loved, so blind at times. Like two people, one she loves, one she resents. Dodging in shadows of another's identity. Not stuff young girl dreams are made of. Center stage as woman, one of many, still one alone. An actress with all the roles she plays. Trapped somewhere between feelings. Prisoner in love, not what she meant. Gilded cages, some birds meant to fly. Spaces of walls, only walls hear her pleas. Feelings of her own, wandering in restless situations. Want to weep when she faces reality she's in. Want to live, want to begin her life again. Feelings of her own, wandering in restless situations. Restless situations. Showing a calm face is hard. They quarreled again today. Quarrels line up one by one. Some hang on, fighting back with words, words said. When heart's tears cry, why? Why is this happening, happening to her? She's not guilty, not guilty, not guilty. She's a rosebush. Treat her beauty gently. Sweet love, her fragrance without thorns. Don't hurt her. Don't chop her down. She can't live as decoration in a vase. She needs to continue. Continue to bloom. Continue to bloom. Please, Lord. Dear God. Oh, Jesus. When will things ever change? Damn, damn, damn it all anyhow. Where she's at? What's she going to do now? Feelings of her own, wandering in restless situations.
A set of three from John Trudell's, a.k.a. Graffiti Man, back in the late 80s. Hard to believe that it's been that long. His stuff is still very poignant today and very similar to his original, that was his first release. Well, first release that was... that really he went on tour with, and he is still doing spoken words, still making music, still with this original band, most of it, including a traditional Warm Springs singer. Quilt Man is the background native voice that you hear behind in those songs. And his spoken word to the bluesy band that he's with, Bad Dog Band, has definitely become his very distinctive kind of insignia. It's really quite a blend, the blues, the tribal voice, and his poetry. Very beautiful together and striking, and kind of created a genre that also became popular for the next 20 years or so of similar voices like that. It's a great way to have that voice of activism with that gentling of the music, the balance of the music. And I know as the inception, the whole creation of his style of song and music is, I know, inspired a lot from his own personal taste in music, but then he kept always a traditional voice, a traditional singer through Quilt Man, and often through having a drum in the band, a traditional drum, hand drum, has been a real remarkable thing. It doesn't sound like it would necessarily all go together, but they have a very their band has a very magical way of fusing those sounds and bringing them together and still keeping the integrity of the traditional songs, some of the traditional songs that Quilt Man sings behind that band. I'll play some more of that later on, a couple of my favorites that really, to me, exemplify that keeping the integrity of the traditional song and having it complement and really enhance John's words, his poetry. John Trudell's poetry is so ferocious sometimes. I mean, it's just so phenomenally sometimes hard to listen to because it's so blunt and honest and in not such a positive way for our mainstream society. I mean, it does not, he has a lot of anger. In fact, his one of his famous quotes in what was on some of his t-shirts and posters and all for many years was don't trust anybody who isn't angry. You know, that was his, you know, most famous line. And, you know, I used to kind of muse over that because, you know, he's a friend of our family's and he never seems angry to me, you know, when he talks and he rants and he goes into his lecture mode when he's doing poetry readings and lectures and that sort of thing. He gets into rants where he, you know, the anger from the past definitely comes up, but he's a very gentle, loving family man who does not appear angry. But what he's done is he's taken his poetry and he's done a lot of healing, you know, through the poetry and through the spoken word and through the music. And, you know, he's left quite a legacy of spoken word songs with us to, you know, enjoy. They're forever present. They're forever pertinent in our society. Those songs, you know, 20, 30 years ago are still the same issues that are happening in Indian country today. And, you know, it's, I don't know, you know, when he set out to produce music and spoken word as he did, I doubt that he had any idea how important his voice and his legacy would become in, you know, for the whole Native movement. He comes from the American Indian movement. He's an extreme activist from the 70s, got into all kinds of, in the middle of all kinds of political battles, spent a lot of time getting, you know, beat up and arrested and, you know, hurt and threatened and injured, and his family was taken from him and killed in the line of fire for the work that he was doing. So he's got a lot of history and anger behind, you know, those words that he's trying to come to terms with his own healing. And back to that, what we talked about when I was talking about healing the sacred hoop, you know, trying to come back to that, but in a time when healing between his tribal people and mainstream people is probably the last thing on this planet that he wanted to do, but knowing that he had to reckon with that and somehow make that work in his life. And so a lot of respect and honor goes to that man for the work that he's done. Really, really important work in our history and contemporary history and also, you know, First Nations history. So I wouldn't be surprised if someday the history books, you know, will include his name in it for various things that he's done. I would like to think so. So anyway, back to some stuff that I wanted to talk about. We just, you know, talked about the feather blessing that happened today. The Red Earth Descendants just came out of the last event that we did, the Native Games, which happened last weekend. Hugely successful. Oh my gosh, was it ever fun. The game that we play, tournament style, is called Shinny. It is a stickball game that comes from kind of a combination of stickball, indigenous stickball games of the Northwest. I think it was played by the Klamath people, but I'm not even sure of that. We've sort of adopted our own version of it, and it's played with a stick and what's called a double ball. It is the predecessor to lacrosse. So it's that kind of, you know, running around the field with sticks to make a goal kind of game. And we had some youth teams, we had some kid teams, we had some older persons teams, and we had a tournament style day as well as kind of a clinic style day. So we'd have a tournament game and then we'd have a clinic teaching game that involved kids and elders and that kind of thing. Went back and forth. This was last Saturday. And had a great time, played all afternoon, and got down to the final match between the three-year defending title holders, Noble Savage of the Native American Student Union of SOU, who were not very, they only had a couple people at NASU kids on their team, so they adopted a couple of our family onto their team, high school students, my son Tasker and our dear friend Misha, both of them high school freshmen, both good shinny players, and so their team, Noble Savage, won for a third year defending. So they were the two-year defending title people, and they won a third straight year in a row. Noble Savage took it away again, beat out in the final tournament game. They beat out the Noble Savage Beaters. I know that's a lame name. I came up with it. That was my team, and we lost. But, you know, we only lost by 2 points. In the first game we played with them, we lost by 1 point. And in the final championship game that we played with them, we only lost by 2 points. Well, I guess I should say it was 5-3. It's not a very high-scoring game. A lot of defense is played in this game, so it's very hard to make a goal. You can the average game lasts about a half an hour to 40 minutes, and you're only, you know, sometimes it takes an hour to get to 5 points. So it takes quite a bit to make a goal. Very difficult to do. And this year we had our double balls. It's two tennis balls held together by a leather, a wrapped thong type thing. And this year our master double ball maker, Michael, made the double balls much harder to maneuver with the sticks. So we were all on an equal playing field with that. We couldn't, it was harder to pick them up, harder to keep them on the stick. He was trying to create a little bit more of an art to picking up that double ball, and boy, it worked. We complained a lot. So anyway, it was really, really fun. We had quite an amazing time, a wonderful community feast. Tasker, stop it. My son is flashing a light at me. Wonderful community feast at the end of the day. Lots of helping hands to pick things up and put them away and schlep things back to SOU. And it was just a really good day in general. Kids had a good time. Lots of running around the field. Got some little ones out there playing. Some little toddler type people with those big sticks. They just felt very empowered. So I often say that our Red Earth Descendants, our group and our camps and our events and stuff are the most non-PC groups that you could possibly, you know, camps and all that you could possibly attend. We're the people who let the kids run around, run with sticks, and play with fire. And I say that, you know, tongue in cheek. I mean, they're learning how to make fire. And they're learning how to put fire in. Oh yeah, my son's saying it. And play with bows and arrows, and weapons. That's our elder youth camp is all about teaching kids weaponry and how to build fires and how to do dugout canoes by use of fire. And so we have a lot of hands-on stuff. The games is the Native games is one of our things that we like to kind of take around with us everywhere we go. We take the sticks to powwows and to gatherings and to you know, other ceremonies and that kind of thing. And we kind of spread it out. We've gifted several tribes and youth organizations with sets of sticks. And it's a type of game that once a kid gets out there and plays it, they are hooked. No pun intended. They are hooked by the stick because it is that much fun. So we, anyway, that was hugely successful. Great time. Other things about the games that I want to talk about in a little bit, but going to bring you a little bit more John Trudell here and be back in a few songs.